In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. Hi, all. Nicole here. This podcast is intended to inspire you on your personal spiritual journey to inner peace. I am not a psychologist or a medical doctor and do not offer any professional health or medical advice. This applies to the podcast guests and or co-hosts. If you are suffering from a psychological or medical condition, please seek help from a qualified health professional. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of A Psychic Story. For this episode, I have on Megan Taylor. Megan has become one of the most sought-after music consultants in the industry. Within the last 15 years, her work has impacted Fortune 500 brands, Grammy award-winning artists, international restaurants and hotels, best-selling book tours, and thousands of events in between. She has dedicated her life to personal transformation, traveling both the literal global landscape as well as her own inner terrain, activating her on a deep spiritual path. She combines this tapped-in perspective with her expertise in music to transform people, events, and spaces. Megan seeks to alchemize the world around her through music, vibration, and frequency. She recently released an album titled Quantum Realm with her group, The Omniscience, which has healing frequencies in their music. She has also been hired to support several best-selling spiritual authors with their book launches and has been a support to Marianne Williamson's recent presidential campaign. We are here today to talk about personal transformation. And if we have time, the rise of the feminine. Just wanted to say welcome, Megan.
Thank you so much, Nicole. It's nice to be with you.
Let's dive in before, again, we get to the spiritual transformation overall as a topic and the rise of the feminine. Tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get started into all this? Was this something that was always a passion of yours when you were younger, or did it take time to develop it?
I would say I accidentally fell into my career path in my 20s. So I've always had, you know, specifically being a DJ, I was always a creative. When I graduated college, I worked for this like great media firm and they booked DJs out. My dad worked for Sony when I was super young, but basically meaning I was like the kid with like all the music and the CDs in our basement. And so I always like was making mixtapes, always putting things together. I kind of understood the alchemy and the energy of music and how powerful music was. And then it was really in my mid-20s when I got an opportunity to DJ. And really what I saw was there wasn't very many females in that space. And I was like, wow, you know, I went off on this event, I said yes. And I was like, I was kind of like dragging my feet. And I was like, yo, you can control the whole room. Like, this is like, I'm like the conductor of this whole space. And so from there, I saw an opportunity with the lack of women. And I was able to kind of build a career. And I had no idea I'd be doing, specifically being a DJ right now, again, 15 years later. And I think a lot of my other creative adventures have sort of spawned from that as well.
So when you were younger, you obviously gravitated towards music and the sound, and you knew there was something deeper. When did you start? Like, obviously, you said when you were in the room and you could see that the whole room was vibing and people were vibing, that you started to learn a little bit more about the vibration and the frequency and the alchemy of music. Take some time to explain that, because I'm fascinated by it. I know it exists, but I'm not a musical person. So if somebody were to say there's keys or certain frequencies, it kind of goes over my head.
Sure. Thank you for asking. I love talking about this because I'm really learning all of the time as well. But You know, I think for me, innately, I understood the energy of music. And what I mean by that is I understood if music would bring people into a state of happiness, if it would bring people together into their hearts, if it would slow them down, if people would get energized. Obviously, you know, if something's more melancholy on the dance floor, that's not happening as much. And so I had such an intuitive, innately understanding of this. I also almost didn't value it. So I didn't know it was special. I was like, this is just such a natural thing that I can do. I know how to sequence things. And when I DJ, it's real. We can talk about this more in a minute, but like, what's fascinating is like, I know where I want to go, but it's kind of a co-creation. You don't know exactly how you're going to get there, but I also have like a really interesting instincts of what needs to happen. And there's so many different platforms and different rooms and different spaces where this has all come together for me. But it wasn't until I started to really understand, I did some work understanding like the divine feminine and there was the difference between feminine and masculine. And I realized that so much of what I do is really on feminine skills, right? It is intuitive. It is being empathetic. It is, you know, moving energy. And I was like, these are all like feminine things inside of me. And because I didn't value the feminine, I didn't value what a lot of my talents and gifts were. And so really when I started to really understand myself as a woman and a female, and obviously we all have the feminine and the masculine in us, was when I started to see this as a gift, you know, and I started to see how powerful this was. And I also saw the opposite of this. I was like, 95% of DJs are men, or I don't know what the statistics are, but especially 15 years ago. And these men have access to all of this as well, but they just jam music down your throat and they just throw these hard beats and there's no build, there's no, you know, dance, you know? And so it was always so strange to me that this art of specifically of DJing was so feminine, but there were so many men doing it. So that's when I really started to become interesting in the alchemy of music and understand music. And then like, wow, I do have a gift, you know, and what other ways can I translate this gift into other spaces? And that's when I, you know, started programming playlists and hotels and restaurants, and basically everything there's music available for everything. Every moment of our life, there's music available. And that's what I love to play with, is just the different ways that we can intentionally use music to change, to whatever the goal is, but to really have an influence on where we're at.
Yeah, no, it's super powerful. And there was, I'm going to probably butcher this and I'll find it and I'll make sure I include it in the show notes once I do. But I had read somewhere that music was the only energy that could transform through and transmute through the physical as well. So like, if you think of a wall, right, the vibration goes through it. And so it's also such a very powerful healing technique as well, right? Which is why people say with the frequencies and the hertz and all of that, how that actually can clear our energy, both in not just the energetic sense, but also in the emotional and the physical. And not that I needed proof, right? But it's always nice to hear that kind of thing. And then why also you intuitively knew and it was inherent within you and innate within you. And then now you, as you go throughout your journey, you're finding more and more the power and the empowerment through it. And I think that it's really interesting as well that you mentioned the feminine part of it, because I never really thought about that. Right? There's a lot of men, and I don't mean this to be disingenuous, but there are a lot of men in certain industries that there do tend to be more of that feminine energy as a whole. And I don't know if that's just a construct that was originally created, but more and more those types of things are starting to break down in our society in a good way, where there's more balance with the masculine and the feminine energies. And I'm not talking about gender as a whole. So let's talk a little bit about that rise of the feminine and, you know, why now, or at least what have you learned throughout your life and your journey and brought you up to here to this point?
Thank you for asking. I mean, I still feel like I'm very much on my journey, but I think we all know, you know, we're in the age of Aquarius. We are in different energetics that are happening right now. You know, everyone commonly says, you know, the feminine, all of us is needed right now because we're the patriarchy and we're over masculinized. And And I think obviously we can see that's very true for so many reasons. And I just went to Egypt, when you do your research and you're like, yo, God was a woman, there's a lot of historical beliefs that like God, we used to worship a feminine God. And whether like, I believe that to be true personally, but what matters to me about that is just, wow, how did we get here? And how does that affect my life? And how does that affect the choices that I make? And so, a lot of my own growth as a DJ, and I did personal growth work since I was 22. I went on a women's weekend when I didn't have any understanding of any of this. And it was really life-changing because I was like, wow, I'm so externally focused. There's a whole world inside that I just didn't know. I was focused on being a good girl. I was focused on pleasing others. And it's really when I woke up a little bit, and then I've just never, I never went to sleep. A lot of the things that have really, I think, made the difference for me and where I'm at right now is really understanding sort of the codes of all the different goddesses and the feminine. And because I think there's so much teaching, there's so much suppression in that. And there's so many things that are really needed right now, our connection to Mother Earth, our connection to Gaia, how our powers come, through our sexuality. There's obviously so many channels we can go, but all of that sort of just wakened my being and for me to be more authentic and more myself.
And when you started DJing 15 years ago, what was the transformation like, not just for you, but for the industry as a whole? And you said it was a lot more masculine, both energetically and probably with gender, obviously, too, where it's just evolved over time. How has that shifted from your perspective?
I think there's just a lot more women, and obviously in the craft and in the spaces, we've sort of moved to really, there's like the DJ is the cool person at the parties now. So there's sort of this understanding of what a DJ is. And before it was like rock bands and indie music. And now there's like this whole DJ movement, and I play less like clubs. What I'm more interested in is doing more. I do like a lot of private events, which is interesting because it's sometimes like not that conscious. And what I really struggled with as I kind of came online, and I realized how sometimes these events are against my own values. And so I kind of struggled, like, do I want to be performing in those spaces? But I've kind of decided this in my life. I'd rather be like the light in the room, and I'd rather show people a different way, to bring meaning to events. And that's something I stand for. Music is just a slice of it. And, I think how it's changed is I'm so much more, what are we actually saying? What are we doing? What are we achieving? And through that, how can we really deepen connections? How can we deepen the relationships and give people something new? And also what I think about music is that, it's music unites people. Like, we are all so separate in this world is sort of this problem that I think we have. And, we identify with where we're from, the city we're from, or the country we're from, or like music, and that's a problem in my mind. So like music, because I can play like different genres and cross genres, I'm pretty like worldly in my mind. So it is a way that I think, I almost feel like I'm like in the Secret Service as a DJ, like I'm doing way more than I think that people understand, but it is a way that I found to really bridge people together, to bring people together, to help people who don't understand each other have a commonality. And it's like a medium that you can play with that people can't see in their eye. That's like really interesting. And now to your point about frequencies and hertz, I'd love to touch on that a little bit. Like, so in COVID, I lost all my business. The event world was like done. So it's a longer story, but it's how I kind of branched out into some of the other things that I do for business. But I had moved down to Mexico. So I moved down to specifically Tulum. And I go down there quite a bit because in Tulum, there's, a lot of parties, but there's also a lot of understanding of music, instruments, vibrations. They're playing. They're doing really interesting things with music that are for healing purposes.
There's more cultural aspects to the music than we are here in the United States, I'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. And they're intentional about it. I made this album, and this album we made was literally like, it was like a divine story. I met someone in the jungle. She has this amazing sound Bowl Temple. And so we ended up doing this album together, but she's healing people through her sound bowls. And when you, it's stuff that I knew innately, but then when I actually see what people are doing, how they're playing with frequency. And so frequency and hertz is like when you produce a song, it can be in a different frequency and there's sort of a standard frequency, what radio is. There are more powerful frequencies. There's powerful frequencies that can produce like love. There are powerful frequencies that can produce enlightenment. And so when you're like, why would this be? And so a lot of stories that the, you know, government was like, they kind of like dumbed us down and, you know, like put all these songs at a certain hertz. That's like the whole programming behind it, is that it was intentional. And so I have this really great artist and we can look it up at the end, but he starts to play with that and people are starting to play with it. So I feel like, you know, the range of what we do with music is like, there's so much more we can do and play with, and people are doing it. It's just not mainstream. But I do think it is changing. It's becoming more accessible. Obviously, like Insight Timer, you can jump on and you can hear music, you can hear meditations, and people are starting to understand and put out, and it's becoming way more mainstream. On how to not just listen to music when you're in the car or at your house, but actually how to transform the DNA, you're at a cellular level, how those vibrations can program you in.
Yeah. And if you think about how powerful there's scientific studies out there now that say that intentions and our focus change the energy around us. And so that's just our thoughts. And then when we voice it and it's verbal, it changes the energy. And then again, imagining how powerful music or the sound and the frequency of things, it's just so fascinating to me. And when I come back in another life, maybe I'll learn and go into all of that in a little bit more detail, but too much to do in this lifetime. But yeah, and also when you were talking before about, even before you mentioned COVID, I was thinking, man, I can't imagine how it's like now when you're at events or you're at certain things and you see people in person. Because even I, like traveling and getting back with people in person, it's been, I want to say hard, it's been eye-opening in a lot of ways, where it's almost like we're all kind of coming back out of our shells, right? Thinking of like a turtle, we were so insular. And now when we're out, it's nice to see us as society and as community again, as we were meant to be with one another. But then also being able to see that in person and then seeing the vibration and the change around you and how everybody probably is just like soaking it up, right? And enjoying it and enjoying the experience.
It's been a journey. Like 2 years ago, it was weird. It was like people didn't, you know, have a little social anxiety. And now, and then what it really moved into, in my opinion, was that people were like, some things we used to care about, we don't. What we care about is the connection. We're so grateful to be together. We're so grateful to be in a space together. And that translated to making a really good events. Like, it was like the people, and I do kind of these high-end events sometimes too, where it's like the sickest decor, the sickest venues. And like, not that changed, but the emphasis really, I think, brought people back to what mattered. And that translated, I think, to making things really more heartfelt, like more juicy. And now it's kind of like, what I see is that people are like, and I love this, they're like, I don't want to do things just to do them. I don't want to do things because we have to. I want things to be meaningful. I want to feel purposeful about my time. I want to be around people that I want to be around. I want to be learning something. And I mean, that's just much more of my own MO as well. So there has been like kind of a collective shift into like understanding that. And I think people being more open.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that also, and having with my full-time job, I'm in PR and marketing communications, and we took it, obviously, we would do a lot of events all the time, same thing, right? But being able to look at it from a standpoint of exactly what you said, that they're more meaningful, that there's a connection, but also the human element of it, whether it's for work and or personal. I just think that you're absolutely right. We've reprioritized as a society and as individuals, which is really great. I want to pivot a little bit. We can obviously talk about all that stuff too later on. But I did want to ask you, so what was like your first spiritual or supernatural or paranormal or psychic experience?
Well, I think as a young girl, I probably have more to say about this than I realize. I think I kind of shut it down. I think I've heard other people say this, but you know, like I had a very distinctive knowing that there was more than this what meets the eye at a very young age. I didn't necessarily like have anything come in necessarily, but I didn't know how to like settle that part of me other than like kind of, I kind of internalized it, and it was hard to be with, if that makes sense, you know? And then I just found all the ways that I can like wrap myself up in the doing and the being busy and the achieving, and kind of built a personality that like filled that space. But that space was significant in me, if that makes sense. And then when I did this sort of women's weekend, I really kind of turned doing personal development. That wasn't necessarily spiritual, but it is kind of spiritual because you're learning about the self. And when I was in my late, and I was raised super Catholic, Catholic school. And so when I went to, which just never really resonated with me, but when I went in my late 20s, I got invited to go on a spiritual pilgrimage, and by the company that was doing this personal growth with, they go on one every year, and it's really dope. They go to a different country every year, and they would like do a deep dive on what that culture was from a spiritual perspective. But it wasn't just to like learn, it was to really absorb it in your life. Like we'd be on the bus, like debriefing and crying and going deep on what it meant to me. So they were going to India. So like last minute, someone couldn't go. I got in last minute and I went to central and southern India, and my world like just blew open. And specifically, like I was at Osho, if you know like the story of Osho, but I was at Osho, which is a wild, he's like a guru, like a little controversial, but I'm here for it.
Good. There's a good amount of healthy controversy out there. It can push the envelope and the boundaries a little bit, whether you buy into it or not, right?
Believe me, I've bought into a lot of things. You know, it's just been always a lesson of that we're sovereign and we have, you know, in the spaces that we're in. But when I was there, like everyone has dresses in white. So everyone's wearing the same thing. There's this big giant pyramid. And Osho had passed away before we had gotten there. And he has all these meditations that are like dancing meditations, moving meditations, standing meditations, putting your hands up and yelling meditations. And I actually wish I knew more of his teachings. Again, this is a long time ago. But nevertheless, like I was probably moving a lot of energy. I was in a place that was energetically really new to me. And I was doing this crazy, like you had to mirror someone dancing and you had to be a person. So I was like being my dad in my mind. And I was like mirroring somebody. And I was like, I have to go to the bathroom. I threw up so much and I just cried like the rest of the day. Like, I don't really know. Like things were just flowing and moving. I just had sort of an awakening inside around that. And for the rest of that week, my third eye was open so much. Like I just had such an expanded vision of colors, of the sight was like wider. And like at that time, like I kind of wish I could go back to it because for me, it was so good. It was like a plant medicine with absolutely no plant medicine journey. And that was like kind of the game changer. And one more thing I'll say about that is we did a lot of meditation. And so I just struggle with meditation, but my internal voice, my higher self, whatever you want to, you know, whatever your name is, was so loud. And it was like, I turned something on in me that really never shut off after that. In fact, I think I've just been seeking my whole life to like
replicate it.
Exactly. You know, but one thing, you know, I've learned, and I really love to hear your opinion on this, is just how much like my own journey has taught me how subtle spirit is. I was kind of like, blast me open. Like, you know, I wanted something to appear. I wanted to hear. And I've had a lot of those experiences, but it's just more so I have been like, yo, like it's in the subtleties is where I really think the magic is. And I just wasn't looking. And then I realized how much is available for me, you know, in a day, every day.
Yeah. You say a lot of things. I was getting chills as you were talking because there's several things that you said. You know, the first is really when you were talking about inner voice or higher self, again, whatever we want to call it. I think we go our whole lives kind of searching for a connection to the divine or our connection to other people or things, which is why a lot of times it goes externally, right? But when at the end of the day, one of the biggest things is to remind us that we're never disconnected from the divine. We're never disconnected from spirit or ourselves. But what it means to be in alignment with our higher self is that we're really realizing it and we're aware of it and we're, for again, for lack of a better word, connected to it in that alignment to where it just guides us, right? And it's a beautiful experience you had that your voice was so loud that you were able to recognize it, because you're absolutely right. Spirit and also our higher selves is just very subtle. And I think that's where people struggle a lot, because they're expecting, you know, God or angels or whatever it is to come down in these miraculous moments and to be this big thing. But it's in the subtleties. It's in the little moments of every day, those miracles that we don't consider miracles and those things. And the more we realize that, the more than we remember that we are connected more than we think. And like you said, with when I was getting the chills too at the end there, is when you're like, I'm looking for it. It's like, I just kept hearing she's connected to it. But what you're yearning for is that bigger, more powerful, impactful kind of experience that you had that you want to replicate. And that can be replicated. It just doesn't happen all the time, right?
Yep, totally. And one more thing, that you, thank you for putting that together so much. And like the other piece for me is like self-trust. You know, I didn't trust myself and there's been, you know, it's like, I thought I did, but when you really understand that, you know, like actually the only thing that matters is what I, you know, in many ways is what I think and what I hear. Do I trust myself? I think that was a game changer in, I haven't really come out in like the last couple of years, until the last couple of years, about the music and the codes and my own intuition and my own, how I really view the world, because I had a lack of self-trust. And once that flipped on, it was a kind of a game changer as far as my own, you know, connection and my own like self-led life that's connected to spirit. And in my own divinity, like that really kind of shifted things for me as well.
Yeah. I never really thought about it as self-trust, but it really can be for a lot of people. You know, when I was worried about coming out of what I call the psychic closet, my friends and family knew, but I didn't talk about it in a bigger platform, i.e. the podcast, for a long time, right? Because there was the fear of the judgment from others. But in reality, the way you framed it, is that it was that I didn't trust, or there wasn't confidence in myself through that, right? Because otherwise then I was looking more of that external validation of judgment and being judged, and then that fear and that doubt, right? So thank you for putting that in perspective.
And even one step more, it's like, you know, how I also think is like, I didn't want to come out because what if it was true? So all, there's so many layers, you know, to this whole thing where it's like, you know, being a victim to it, or like, I don't know, like it's not happening to me, you know, is safer sometimes than really having, you know, owning it, right? And being like, yo, I'm creating all of this. So what are we creating? You know, so it's because it's such a game changer too.
Yeah, no. Well, you know what the image that just popped in my head when you were saying that was, that there's a meme, and it's actually kind of sad. It's not really a meme. I wouldn't say it's funny, but where there's birds in a cage and the door is open and they can actually fly out of the cage, but they don't want to because they feel safer in the cage. That's exactly what that's exactly energetically what it was feeling like as you were talking through that.
I mean, welcome to life a little bit.
I know. Well, then that's the programming. That's all this. That's a whole nother topic for another day and another episode. Okay. So yeah. So as you started to open up more, and you said it wasn't until recently, what did that look like as far as those conversations? Because you were clearly in the public eye, right? With DJing and going through that experience. Was it a subtle shift where you just started dropping it, or was it a bigger moment? What did that look like?
I think I just became more myself around everyone, you know, and honestly, everybody is like, wow, tell me more. Wow, Megan, like there has been, I mean, I'm sure there's like pushback, but if people are like, wow, like, how do you know this? You know, I have like a Rolodex of healers. I feel like everyone comes to me and is like, you know, like, hey, like Megan, like who can I've just like, I've helped people a lot on their path when they know there's more than this. And I'm so grateful to be like a resource for that. So, and then as far as professionally, you know, I've probably done it with a little bit of intention, but in just more of a grounded, people don't need to be talking about like 5D consciousness, you know, with my clients. When I do talk about, and I ask them questions, you know, about their vision and what's the possibilities and things that lead us there, people are game. So I think that this, you know, coming out, it is important because this is what we all need to be doing. And I think it also strengthens what I am doing to lead me to the next thing.
truth and that authenticity that gives you the empowerment and empowers others, because there's nothing to hide, because there's no fear about it, because you're trusting of yourself, as you had mentioned before.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So I would imagine as well, now that you've started to talk more openly about this, the type of people who are coming to you, whether it's personally or professionally, that is, it's almost what I would say the universe starts to bring us, people that are not just open, but that want more of this, right? So then, have you experienced that as well, that where from your business it's grown, and obviously you as a person and as a spiritual being too has grown?
Yeah. I think that I really set out to maybe like 2 years ago to who are my ideal clients, you know, in all the different realms that I play in. And so, you know, what I mentioned before during COVID, because I couldn't do a lot with music, I helped an author launch a book in the spiritual space. So I've sort of done some strategy consulting in these other spaces as well. And it's, what's interesting is, like, you know, I think in the professional and personal life, like, that's sort of like, you know, and I don't think that you were saying this, but it's a little like, you know, it's an old paradigm. Like, it's like, yo, like, we're all me. I'm having some conversations. We can do an exchange for some services. Like, it's just become a little bit more of a blank canvas that doesn't have to be so siloed, which has been very helpful for me. And I think it's kind of the way we're moving. And I think it's just also how I'm known. But back to what I was saying was that I really tried to intentionally kind of think about, what are the qualities of people? Like, who do I want to help? Who do I want to be working with? What are their values? What are they seeking to do in the world? And so I think that alone brought me the clients. And if I'm doing a personal party, it might just be a celebratory party, but they align and they kind of get me more. And I became less scarce. Like, I was like, I want to feel really good about the exchange as well too. And I think also people are wanting to play with music more. They're wanting to make more of an impact in a different way. And so, and I worked with this, like, for example, I programmed this hotel down in Mexico, and it was fabulous. It's like this Moroccan place with like zebras, and like, it has this whole vibe to it. It's kind of like a dream. It's like fairy tale, like circus, but like super high end. Anyways, and they're really confused about what their music was. And so, like, I'm putting all these playlists together. So basically what I do is I kind of create like the sound for like the pool area and then like the dining experience and like think about it all. And like, it's all just like channeling kind of. And I do this with people too. I should make you a playlist, by the way. I'm going to. It's like this thing I'm kind of working on of like what your signature sound is. Okay. So anyways, and long story short, I was working with this woman. And she was an Irish shaman, because I'm very Irish. I have red hair, for those of you who can't see me. And I was like, I need to like know my roots. So I like found this woman on the internet, and I was like talking to her, and she was like, you can program like intentions and codes into the music. And she like taught me how to do that. So I was like, this is a game changer. So I kind of felt like I could do that. I didn't necessarily know in a playlist. And she's like, oh yeah. And think about how sound bounces off of space. Like, think about how the whole space and how sound vibrates and bounces and where it will go and how it will hit the body. And like, when I think of music, I can visually see it in my third eye. Like, I can see how the energy moves. And so now when I DJ, I can tell you a lot about this or a little bit about this, but I literally feel like what I'm doing is, it is music. And there, it's music people will know, but I feel that I'm a channel of energy, and I'm putting into the music specific vibrations that are coming out through the music that are hitting people. So like, let's say a song has like lyrics that aren't super like empowering, because this is something I've struggled with as well, like a little darker, but I just feel like I can almost transmute that. And it's not about the lyrics. It's about the energy in the music that comes out.
Yeah. No, it's reminding me of back in the 70s and 80s when there was a lot of subliminal messages within music, right? And if you wanted to quit smoking, if you wanted to get, I don't know, have more motivation on things, I'm talking about the positive stuff in the subliminal messages, not the negative. But, you know, there was this whole movement of that, and everyone was like, wow, you can do that. And that was just people, and I'm using air quotes here, just people talking, right? Where you couldn't hear it, but then there was ocean waves and there were other things. So I absolutely, you know, firmly believe what you're saying, because it's, you're an energy healer, right? Again, music and vibration frequency is a healing modality and a form of energy healing. But also, if you're intentionally transmuting or sending out energy that's going to change that vibe or change that, not just the frequency, but everything else that goes with it. And what's super cool about that too is thinking about the space as a whole, right? It's not just the person, but when you were saying the vibration of it coming off, and, you know, I was imagining the pool and with the water, there's going to be a different type of bounce probably, and or if it's outdoors versus if it's in a place that's very acoustic, which is why, you know, a lot of the meditation and or sound bath kind of healing, they take that into account. So that's just really neat. And what I was hearing you as you were talking from my guides and angels about saying, well, how can people play with music more? So for example, if you want to make a playlist based on songs that you like, that's great. But do you have additional tips or advice of how can people play with music and or sounds more in their day-to-day life if they're not a DJ necessarily?
You know, I think like one of the easiest ways is like if you just pay attention to how you feel when you listen to a song. There's a lot of information that you'll have about yourself. It will help you be more present, and you'll start to understand and pick up pretty easily on how you're being affected by music. And then I think if you think about it, and I have so many playlists as well that you have access to, like on my social and website, but like, cause I love to make playlists for all occasions, but that's another thing, is just like, think about, people probably listen to play music when they're in the car, maybe when they're at home, but you want to have a morning ritual, like create a playlist. And how do you want to feel, and create and put songs together that will invoke that for you? I mean, it is just such a quick transition to change the way that you're vibrating, either to be more present, to be more in your body, to be more upbeat. Like there's sort of countless ways. And I just think there's a lot more spaces where you can be intentional when you're listening, and you don't also have to just listen to what the radio is feeding you. You can take total control of your adventure.
I came across, I'm probably late to the game, was that game where you play, I was how many years old when I discovered brown noise, not white noise, but brown noise for when I'm having difficulty concentrating and needing to write, especially for my full-time job. And so there's that. But also when I've been out and about, whether I'm grocery shopping, I'm on my way to take a flight or whatever, lately my spirit team has been asking me to play on happy music. And I've been like dancing through the airport, like people looking at me, what is this girl doing? Also in the grocery store. And I'm just saying, all right, I'm here to do this. Normally that would be in the comfort of my own home, or like you said, car, but I just feeling led to do that more and kind of share my light a little bit, right? Energetically. So who knows what that ripple effect is? Hopefully I made somebody laugh and smile when they were looking at my atrocious dancing in the grocery store trying to get some strawberries. But yeah, I think that that's a really great thing that you're saying, is just where you feel led energetically and how you want to maybe emotionally feel and show up. And even just if you're not feeling it, to kind of put on that music to kind of change your state of mind and change that vibration and that energy, right?
And there's so many resources. Like if you go to Spotify, you know, you can do like a manifestation playlist. You can get just frequencies, or you can get songs. Like there's so many free, easy ways to have access to this, or a meditation app, like YouTube. But there's something I think about making your own and choosing it for yourself that makes a difference as well. Because I think you're not just receiving, but you're creating. As simple as making a playlist, like I think that also changes the power. Oh, and I have a question for you. When you listen to music, do you hear lyrics, or do you just hear kind of the beats and the melodies?
Both. I think that I first pick up the beats and the melody and then pay attention to the lyrics, but it depends on where I am. Like, anyway, so some of the music, I feel that the lyrics match the beat and the melody, the energy. Sometimes it's off, right? The lyrics aren't necessarily matching the energy. And so it depends.
That's such a good awareness.
Okay, good. I was like, is this a trick question? I had to think about that for a while. Yeah, I think it depends, really. Yeah.
Well, and I just like to ask people, because I found it's like varied. Some people can not listen to a song if they don't like the lyrics, if they're not a match. I need to hear lyrics more, but I don't listen to them. It's like not how I hear it at all. So sometimes I can listen to a song like 20 times. I can see it, I can know it, but like I just can't always retain the music, the actual lyrics, because it's not how I listen, you know? So it's interesting. People fall into different pools.
Oh, yeah. No, now I'm going to have to pay attention to it more. But I would say if you had asked me or anyone had asked me that and I wasn't talking to you, I would have said the beat and the tone, the lyrics secondary, because I can never remember the lyrics. So I think that that should tell you something. I never remember the name of the artist, the name of the song, or the lyrics as much as it's like the beat, which is probably in the tone.
And that makes sense because you're so intuitive and you're such an open channel in your body. So I understand why that you're not really listening from your head. You're listening, you know, from how you feel. So I think that makes sense.
Oh, well, thank you for that. Okay. So I want to get back a little bit about that personal transformation that we said. So obviously there was a lot that you went through your own journey. And I agree with you. I think you'd said you're still learning. I think we all are, right? That's why we're here. We're continuing to be in that transformational state and throughout the journey and the process. But what are some other things either that you went through and or that you would maybe say to people who are going through their own personal transformation, wherever they are in that stage? Any advice?
I've sort of always prioritized personal growth and my spiritual growth as well. You know, where some of my friends were buying like fancy shoes, like I was buying like, you know, weekend retreats. and I think some of it came out of feeling like not enough, but I think part of me just knew like, this is what matters. This is what matters to me is really knowing who I am. And so like, I always try to keep like a little part of me outside of my comfort zone that's stretching in that way, you know. And I have done, you know, whether it's a soulful, like beautiful, I've done a lot of traveling to a lot of sacred sites and with by myself or with different groups. You know, I've been in different containers that are teaching different things. You know, I've had a lot of coaches and healers. And I think now it's like, I think there's a season for it. There's a season where I've gone hard, and then there's a season for me to really listen to myself, you know, and share what I know with others, which is a little bit more of it. Not that I don't have support, but I felt like for a minute, and I went through some deep trauma healing, like more in the last few years that I didn't know I needed to heal. And I kind of realized in that journey, and I'm super great. I sort of had to like, I did a lot of somatic work. I did a lot of work around healing my body, if that makes sense, which I sort of realized I didn't need to talk as much. Like I talked a lot about a lot of things and it was like healing the body. And I also could see how the world, personal growth, development world, like whatever, it can be a loop and you can always be looking for the next thing to fix yourself. And there's sort of a place where I came to, it's like, this isn't about fixing myself. This is about like, I'm whole and complete. I actually have the power in my own being a sovereign being to like make things different. And like that sort of shifted things for me. So like now I think I'm just in the season of really, I think people need to be kind of guided and showed the way. So I feel like I'm more of in a season of pouring that into others that are like looking for that. Just to show them what I've done.
I really love the way you said that because it's really about, so you mentioned trust earlier, but it's also about understanding ourselves. I think I went through a whole part of, can't speak for you, but for myself, I thought I knew so much because you, by the way, you're very highly intuitive. You have this gut knowing and intuition that's what drove you. You kept saying, you know, innate and inherent because you just use that as a guidepost and a guiding light. And so for a lot of us that have that kind of experience, we tend to know and just kind of go forward with it. But at least for me, when I got to a certain stage through my personal transformation, it was about starting to understand. And I don't mean like the fixing or the understanding the why, more going back to say, this is who I really am. And this is why I'm looking for those experiences and being drawn to certain things spiritually that then equate to that growth or those, again, opportunities to experience things, which is also probably why it was important for you for the travel and for those insights.
Yeah, that's beautiful how you put that too. You know, I've kind of had to like reexamine the why, and there's a lot of rabbit holes. I'm such a curious person, but it's also always served me. You know, so thank you for that reflection.
Yeah. What was your favorite experience if you had to kind of pick a favorite child out of either your travels or your spiritual experiences? What have those looked like to you?
I mean, I'll just mention Egypt because it's like, I mentioned to you earlier and I went once in my 20s and then I went, you know, to Egypt and really kind of doing the whole, you know, Egyptian mystery school through the temples and which is a bigger conversation, but basically there's a lot of information, a lot of codes and a lot of knowledge in Egypt. And I think you'll notice if you're in this realm, there's a lot of people going there specifically now, like in these years. And so I went with one of the women that I just mentioned her in Tulum, Joey. And so she takes people, and it was really profound and really special. And I think because I was with some of my amazing friends. And what it was, like, I kind of thought I was going, like, you know, you're like on a pilgrimage, you're going to go and you're going to receive something. And for me, it was just like, I mean, this is maybe like a dumb again, but like, it was such a profound remembering. I was like, yo, like, I'm not receiving anything. I know this. Like, I wrote this. I mean, not really, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it's so, we all know this because many of us were part of it. And, you know, there was a lot of understanding around for me around, you know, Isis, and which is the goddess of divine love and power in many ways. And I saw how I had made love very transactional, like you give, I then I'll give. Like, and I kind of really got in a very profound way in myself, like what love could be and is and how it's our birthright. Like, and that's just from like sitting in the temple. You know what I mean? Like, and so there was a lot of moments like that. And the goddess Hathor, if you know her, like at all, like, which is all about sound and vibration. This is pretty cool. When I was in her temple, I could hear the vibrations, but I could hear it, but it wasn't through sound. And I was like, what is this? And how that was all about play and creation, you know, and a lot of it is about where creation comes from, you know, which is this orgasmic way of life. So much of that trip is still kind of unfolding for me now. So thank you for asking.
Oh yeah. No, well, spoiler alert, and you can tell me off air later, but I'm actually looking to plan a trip to Egypt for podcast listeners. And I was feeling led. So the fact that you keep bringing up Egypt is just another sign and a symbol that this needs to happen for a variety of reasons. But yes.
You actually had me on to tell you that, I think. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, we didn't plan it, but yeah, no. And when I went to Egypt, it was a beautiful moment and opportunity because it was right during a sweet spot several years ago where it was safe to go. And, you know, it just happened, right? And it flowed really well. And very long story short, when we were there, it was with one of my best friends and we were on a FAM trip, which is a familiarization trip, so with all these other like scuba divers and just us, right? So we were not scuba divers, but we got our certification for this trip. And we go through this whole thing and just the vibration alone of being there and being at the pyramids and feeling it was so profound because I realized that, I mean, I always knew it, but to actually feel that physical, and it wasn't just me, it was other people on the trip too that were experiencing it, that weren't in the woo-woo, that weren't in the spiritual. And just to be like, this is not just us receiving from the earth, but to give to the earth and to all of these other places within just blew my mind. It was so amazing. So
that's so good. So are you taking people there?
I mean, that's where I'm feeling led. No, I feel like I'm going to create this, what I keep seeing in my mind and what I'm receiving download. I had Amira Hall on for a few episodes back. And so she does these trips, but also Della Rose, Ruby Meyer, who I've been talking on the side with planning these trips. It's almost like people have just been, again, angels, guides are just directing. You're going to be one of them. I can feel it. But anyway, we're going to go on this trip and it's going to be anyone that wants to go, right, up to a certain point because we can't have like thousands of people. Or maybe it is a pilgrimage. I don't really know, but we're going to go. And Egypt is one of those on the list. So there's a couple other places, but that's number one at the top of the bucket list that we're going to be going to.
I just also went to Mount Shasta. Have you been there yet?
No, I haven't, but it's on the list, not for the retreats or the trips, but for me personally. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, you know, another place that obviously people, you know about and hear about too, but and it's very, that actually was almost more powerful energetically than Egypt was for me.
I can only imagine. Well, so we covered personal transformation. Anything else on the rise of the feminine that you wanted to cover?
I mean, yes.
I have a little bit more time. I'm just feeling like they don't want to shut it off completely. I keep hearing there's something to cover. I'm going to pivot back to the rise of the feminine and I'm just going to kind of tee it up because this is what they're kind of sharing. I've been hearing from a lot of people and a lot of practitioners, and I've been feeling it too energetically, that it's not just the rise of the feminine, but what's being called the rise of the priestess. And for me, when I tune into that energy, I think it goes back to the breaking down of the paradigms and how for so long as society and culture, not just within the United States, we've been leaning towards that masculine so much. And now it's truly is that balance. But also, I think it's about breaking down those barriers and the myths and misconceptions of what it means with feminine energy and what it means for each individual person. You mentioned earlier, there's a balance between all of us, that duality of yin yang, so to speak, right? That we have both feminine and masculine energy. So I'm just going to kind of tee that up because that's what they're telling me to say and kind of see if you have anything else to build on from that.
You know, I do. So really the work that I feel like is being presented to me to like shift in my own life is like this, the way that I move through the world used to be very fast, used to be very busy doing, going all the time. And so I have recognized this for a while that this is like this is Megan's programming, right? Like this is how I do things. Then realizing I don't have to do that way. Oh, I have like a choice around this. I don't want to do it. But I've had so much resistance to resting, to slowing down, which I think is obviously more of that sort of feminine way. And also, you know, what I've kind of realized in my own like feminine power, priestess power, it's not, a lot of it is, me sitting in my most authentic self, being in a full expression of who my being is the most important thing for me to do. It is not about me making business, you know, doing events, creating. And creating is important, but I have tied my own, you know, value so much to that the unwinding of that is super real. And there has been this understanding of this almost like profound lack of safety when it comes to the idea of resting, like I am slowing down. Like, it's not just like, I don't have the time. I can create the time, but I don't do it because it feels so uncomfortable and it almost feels like dangerous. And I was like, how could this feel dangerous? And I'm hoping that yes, is that you're relating. And I'd love to hear what you have to say about this, but I just kind of realized this is like lifetimes. This is past lives. This is this life. This is so much programming that is in my DNA that is running and pulsating through me all the time. So although my will, although my mind, although my heart might know like this is the way, getting my body to actually do that is like a whole other thing. And I think that this is what someone's really teaching me, is that the essence of this is in my connection to my body and being in my body and embodied and not, because I kind of like leave my body a lot. Like, you know, I'm like up in my, you know, above my head, in my other chakras, and like how important it is to one, be in our body, one, to be in our body. And then, because we are connected to Gaia, like the earth. So this is the other part of this, the other flip side, where we are all on this earth, disconnected, connected. Most of us, I think, are disconnected. And I think the way for me is to move at the pace of Gaia, and which is slow. If you watch how like a little like thing blooms, it is slow. And so there's a frequency that is available to me and to us to tune into that is a game changer. I'm not like quite there yet, but I think it is this whole unraveling of the self as the speed that's really important to really igniting that whole like divine feminine essence inside of us too.
Yes. No, what you said is all really powerful. And the reason I was agreeing, I was going, there is, because there was, I want to say, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 years ago, although I am fully recognizing I do this more often too, but is that I was on a healer's table. And as soon as she was done, I just like jumped right up. She's like, you can take as much time as you need, you know, relax and everything. And I jumped right up and she said, Nicole. And she tried to lovingly explain to me that my need to go, 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 and all of that, the energy and the frequency, exactly what you were kind of describing, was part of that physical piece of me. And my energy as a whole hadn't caught up, right, on all of the other levels. So there was that. But when you were talking, I was recognizing that there's been a lot of people who have been coming to me also for either intuitive sessions or energy healing. It's the same mentality. I hear it in there as I'm done. They're like, okay, now what? What do I do? What do I do? We don't take the time to pause. We're not taking the time to actually realize what that means. And also, I think you're right. There's a little bit of fear through if we stop through the action, if we're not taking action and we're not taking steps to create change and do these things, then in some ways we're going to die, or we're not going to move forward, or we're not going to create the positive change and the momentum that we've spent decades doing or lifetimes doing. And that takes a really powerful stance and also a change in your mindset and your perception to start to shift that and realize that it's okay to slow down and to be more in what, you know, is that feminine energy. And I never really thought about it that way, to look at it and equate it that that's what it was that type of energy, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, some of us, where did that programming come to be fast and to do, and that I must do to create change? Like, and then I think that's an interesting thing for us to think about. Like, is that actually what I want? Or is that just like a belief that's moving through me? Because it's a big game changer on how you live your life, is what I've realized.
Well, and when I was even talking, what I kept hearing was, we're born and we're in school, and then we're, you know, high school, that what have you, we go to college, then we get married, we get a job, then it's about the promotion and or the kids and getting a house and buying a car. So it's been programmed and created for us to do these things and to take these steps, and it's supposed to feel natural, but in reality, it's actually not natural in the sense of who we are, as you've mentioned, sovereign and individual beings and spiritual beings, to just be still and to take part of what's happening energetically and not to have to be in this exterior world of what that looks like. So that's what I think it is. And then add on the layered complexity of past lifetimes too. But what also you were saying about our DNA, there's our physical DNA. And what I've been told or taught through my spirit team is our spiritual DNA as well. So we have this physical DNA through our life time of our lineage and our parentage and all of our ancestors. But then we have that spiritual DNA of the energy. So we're really breaking down those paradigms. I mean, if you think about, you know, mind explosion, we're breaking down it. That's why it's, I don't want to say hard, but hard sometimes for us to be thinking about, okay, what does all this mean? Why am I needing to release this trauma? Why am I going through these different steps spiritually? And why we are all on different paths of it is because it's just, it can be so complex. But in simple terms, what I'm hearing you say and the messages that I'm receiving as well is that if we're just paying attention to where we are at this moment in time and trusting not just ourselves, but how we're feeling, that is really the part of the power of the transformation and taking it one step at a time versus having to look at it in this big galactic type of way.
You're so good at summarizing.
Oh, thanks. It's not me. It's my team or higher self.
That's so good. Even though I kind of said it, but I'm like, I got to write that down because you just gave me advice, even though it's what I said. So
no, well, and I'm glad you're taking it that way. It's sometimes I feel led to kind of summarize in case it's not resonating with someone on a different level, because that's I'm hearing in my mind, right? Well, here's what you should say from my team to make sure that everyone else is kind of, okay, I get it. Because it only clicks sometimes for some people, right? But yes.
So as you're listening to me, you're also hearing your guides. How do you hear both?
It's very hard. That's why I'm really trying to listen to you, and I write notes down a little bit sometimes, like, okay, this is what they're saying, and just so I can go back to it. And I ask them simultaneously, or myself, right, is I'll ask, is this important? Do you want me to hit this and highlight this and question? So I'm kind of doing two interviews at the same time, or multiple interviews at the same time. Yeah.
That's fascinating. That's so amazing.
Yeah, no, thank you. I think that's also part of what made me such a good communicator in my, I keep saying full-time job, but with PR and marketing, because I would intuitively feel led and guided to ask certain questions also, again, through my intuition and not just from a professional perspective and how I was taught and trained. So there's that. But then since I've done the podcast, it's really opened up more where I've been able to say, that's why I say I'm feeling led because usually my guides and angels are like, here's another question. Here's what else you should ask. So yeah.
That's great. No, and I do think, you know, just synthesizing it, it's incredibly important. Yeah. For application and people to get it. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, no, I really appreciate our time together, Megan. I want to make sure. So how can people reach you, or is there anything else you wanted to share? I mean, obviously on your website, you mentioned that you have a lot of playlists, which is great. I can link to some of them in the show notes, but anything else you're offering within your group that you work with or anything else you wanted to promote?
Yeah, I think I've got some things I'm going to be promoting. I don't know when the show is dropping, but I have a subscription that's about to launch. The best thing to do is to, on my website, it's thisismegan, M-E-G-A-N, Taylor.com. Just sign up for like my newsletter and you will get all the offerings that are to come. There's a link to, I did a playlist that's like for all of the chakras. That's super fun. And it's a lot of different vibes. It can be for your barbecue outside. It's not like all, you know, spiritual. And just follow me on my Instagram as well. I post a lot of things there at DJ Megan Taylor.
Well, thank you so much. I've really appreciated our time together. And yes, I am definitely going to hold you to a playlist for me. If it's not for me, if it's for podcast listeners, I several months ago made a playlist where it was just music that I was feeling led to share, i.e. from my spirit team. I have not updated it in like a year almost. So I'll share that with you later too. And I'll also drop it in the show notes and you can tell me what you think, maybe what was my mood or the energy at the time. But I thought it was fun because I was feeling led to kind of create one at the time. And I did not know what I was doing. I was just like, these are some songs I'm feeling like people might like. So anyway, but yeah, thank you again for being on. I've really appreciated it.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to see this playlist and I so appreciate having this conversation with you.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.